I don't think that's really what the word means when it talks about blessing your food. I think it means being thankful for everything God gives you. But as a sign of that to the world and a witness, one thing our family does is we always bless the food. I don't care if we're in the busiest place at the beach or the lake or the McDonald's or wherever we are. We do that, and we do it, one, we are thankful for our food, but two, to show the world around us that we are who we pray to. You know, that we're not ashamed of Jesus. You know, that's what I said earlier about your spouses. If you act like you're ashamed of them, you're not going to have a good relationship. They want that your spouse, your kids too. You know, when you're a kid, sometimes you're a little bit, you can be, some kids are a little ashamed of their parents. I think my kids are ashamed of me sometimes. Yesterday I was dressed to swim, and I had a tank top on, and Jake had a game, and Jake said, "Dad, you're not going to wear that, are you?" But always show God that you're not ashamed of him. So what I'm going to do, we're getting ready to eat the best meal you'll ever have. And I say that not just because I know that the man of God is a man of God who puts a lot of time, prayer, and effort into it, but I know that Holy Spirit will give a message, and that's what's important. And so we're getting ready to eat. And before we eat, I almost forgot. I mean, the kids are going to eat. Lord, they stay in because they're going to eat too. They can stay in for the blessing and the word. So I'm going to ask Val to pray a blessing over this food we're getting ready to eat. And then when she says amen, Children's Church will be officially dismissed.
Bless this food, Father, that we are just love you and just give you our all. We thank you and we praise you, Jesus. Amen.
Children's Church, report for battle.
Give it up for the kids. Come on, guys. Wow. All right. It's going to be different today. Everybody say it different. Different doesn't mean bad. Different is good, but it's just different. Okay? This service has been different. You have that picture of that sled laking. Thank you for doing all that. But when Pastor Heath was really moving there in the Holy Spirit, the Lord just pointed boom, and that sled came to my mind. Because we're all pushing on something today. We're pushing against something. This whole ministry today is a ministry who has been called to push. We're really pushing out the darkness so the light can come in. And so we're all pushing against something, even technical problems this morning in worship. The enemy was really, everybody thinks, well, the devil don't come to church. Oh, man, whoever told you that? Who told you that? Can I tell you that he's the first one to be in the service, okay? And most of the time, too, he comes riding on our dysfunctions. And usually the last one to leave. It never fails. Every Sunday after we leave, there's a challenge. There's things that we've got to push against to keep things going. Because that shows you where we are. A ministry that's not pushing is not being called to do anything. When you're called to do something, when you're called in a place of darkness, then you're constantly pushing against the opposition. You see, opposition always opposes purpose. You want me to repeat that? Just in case you all didn't get it. Opposition always opposes purpose. When you find that there's opposition against you, it's because you have powerful purpose. And so we all have to push against it. Like this morning, your worship was pushing against it. Just you're hollering out and screaming out. That is powerful purpose in that. Your worship has purpose. We're not just doing this to be doing this. It has purpose. And what a lot of times people don't see is that there are powerful breakthroughs on the other side of their push. Don't give up in the push. Imagine a woman who decides, doctor, I'm not going to push anymore. And the doctor's on top of her screaming, push, push. And she says, I ain't going to push. Come on, you all. Do you understand what I'm saying? Something is getting ready to be birthed in your life that is bigger than you are. Do you understand? To get it here, you got to sometimes push it through. You got to push it through. These guys, man, those are heavy, aren't they, boo? Can the coach get up and stand on that stand? Yeah. And the coach said, now push it. That'll preach. That will preach. Yes. Did y'all get that? Yes, we need that push. God knows we need to push. It helps create things in us. It makes us stronger, makes us more enduring, makes us more acceptable, more acceptance of challenges that come against us. You need to push. You need to push. You know, life isn't a cupcake. But we sometimes feel like that it is. Sometimes we can find ourselves in some very dark places. We can find ourselves just overwhelmed. And there's a word that just sticks out to me. I've asked some people, the reason why I said different this morning is because there's some people, everybody in this room could have done this. But for time's sake, I just felt like there could be some people, if the Holy Spirit continues to work that way, that would bound in a two or three or a minute or less than a minute, seconds, snippet of a little testimony about the thing that had them at one time, the thing that had them overwhelmed, the thing that they felt trapped in. How many has ever felt trapped before in your life? Okay, I'm going to have some people honest, some people not honest. All right, Lord, you're going to deal with the ones that are not honest. Okay, we've all been trapped. Okay? Come on. We've all been trapped. We've all felt like we've been closed in. We've all felt like that and those times can be lonely places. And I'm going to talk to characters, and I'm going to use testimony this morning, so in this thing. But and then I asked Mrs. R to share this thing about fighting, because sometimes in life we can get in a place and we lose our fight. We lose the fight. We lose the desire. It's not that it's necessarily not something that we think that we want to do, but finding the willpower to do it is another thing. So we lose the fight. We lose the passion to fight. And, you know, again, we could go back to Rocky, the movie with Rocky Balboa and Mick, and how at one time in his life he lost the desire. You've seen that one. I don't even know which one that was. Rocky III, look at there. That guy's already, he knows exactly which one it is. Okay, and he lost. Did anybody see Rocky here? Yeah, anybody ever seen Rocky, the movie? Anybody ever see Rocky? Okay, if you haven't, okay, there's a lot of preaching in Rocky, okay? I know you don't see it, but there is. And so in that, he lost his desire to fight because Rocky himself climbed into a dark place. He ran from his purpose, and he found himself in a dark place. He was overwhelmed by his defeat, losing his passion to continue to do what he was meant to do. And there are some people in the scripture that God shows us this morning are powerful representations of that. One of which his name is Elijah. And everybody knows Elijah, right? A lot of people's kids are named Elijah. That's a powerful prophet in the Word of God. How many knows it? He's probably one of the most powerful prophets in the Word of God. And Jesus makes reference to him. He was one of the prophets that was later seen upon the mount. There are powerful things about the life of Elijah. But he was born with amazing purpose. God had intended purpose for him. He was an arrow that was shot into the land. There was an intention for his life and his purpose. He impacted, he affected many people. He was a powerful prophet that kings feared. Kings revered, but kings mostly feared. Or kings were after him because of his gifting and because of his anointing. Everybody's not going to be on board with your gifting and your anointing, okay? You might as well get used to that. Everybody is not going to believe in the dream that God has put inside of you. So there are times in your life you've got to fight for your own dream. You've got to fight for your own purpose, because people will not be on board with you. So people were against Elijah. He was called in a very dark time in the history of Israel. And everybody knows the story in the book of Kings, 1 Kings, about this powerful prophet that God used to raise the dead. I believe that there is a generation before the coming of Jesus that God wants to use to do great and mighty things. As in the early church, I believe for some reason or another, religious folk seem to think that we don't need the power and the residue of a holy anointing in our life today. But this is the time that God has called us to do mighty things in the kingdom of God. So quit being satisfied with the mundane. Hallelujah. God's called you to raise the dead, to lay hands on the sick, and they'll recover. God's called you, as he called Elijah, to do great things, and he raised the dead. You know that. There was such a powerful anointing on his life. He was almost like Superman. You remember in the scripture one time that he outran a chariot of horses to get to his purpose and his destiny. There's a time in your life coming that you're not going to be running from God that fast, but you're going to be running to the purpose and the plan of God that fast. So get your track shoes on. Get your shoes on and get ready to run, my friend, after your purpose. Hallelujah. Is anybody with me today? I promise you this, if you're not, you're going to miss something. Okay, we're going to get where we're going to go. And then, because of his power and his influence upon the nation, there were people who hated him. And a great famous king by the name of Ahab, wasn't really anything great about him, but Ahab was influenced by spirit. Now, I bet some of you in here don't even know that spirit that he was influenced by. And although it's associated with a very wicked woman's name, does anybody know her name? Jezebel. Listen, Jezebel wasn't this evil demon or looking that way. She didn't personify herself as this wicked distortion of a beautiful person, horns sticking out, big sharp teeth coming down, and big long fangs. This woman was a knockout. Oh, I know you don't see it. Because all the way the devil comes to you is not the way you think he comes against you, right? Yeah, yeah. You're looking for him in the wrong places. The devil don't come to you in those Steven Spielberg images. But he'll come against you. And so this spirit of Jezebel that was operating in this woman, she influenced Ahab to do some awful things in his life. And so she was afraid. First of all, she was afraid. So she was a very seductive, very influential. She used that influence to move King Ahab into doing things that he shouldn't have done. So how many's ever been influenced to do things that you know you shouldn't have done before? You know, sometimes we think that's just us, and it is our flesh mostly, but it's the enemy who wants to use our flesh to come against the greater purpose in our life. So he used Jezebel. And we know this today in the church world, in the spiritual world, as the spirit of Jezebel. But that spirit has its origin. It was spawned by the devil himself. Do you know that? You've got to understand that the demise, the evil demise against you has been spawned from hell itself. Because the enemy is afraid, literally, he is afraid of the real God purpose in your life. And if there's an enemy attacking you, it's because there's something greater in your life that he wants to do. So we've all been fighting things in our life, and Ahab just surrendered and he bowed and he succumbed to this evil spirit that was seductive and causing him to do things, turn against his own people and literally worship idols and gods and other gods and do all kinds of evil atrocities. But she hated Elijah. You probably wouldn't know why Jezebel hated Elijah. Listen, you know what that represents? Listen, the spirit of Jezebel hates the prophet of God. Because, listen, hell wants to control this pulpit. Hell wants to control the prophet of God, the ministers of God. You know why there's such an onslaught of attack against pastors and preachers and leaders today? It's because there's an evil spirit that wants to tumble every one of them because of God's powerful purpose. So it's a controlling spirit, manipulates and controls to get its evil way. And so it'll work its way in as it did entrance into Ahab's life. But that prophet, that Jezebel spirit was after Elijah also. He wanted to take down the prophet of God. It was a rival. It was something that had to be dealt with. So she devised ways. And one of her influences was to take the prophets of God and seduce them and bring them to her side. Let me tell you, this spirit is seductive. It will seduce you. It'll walk to you with a Bible. It'll walk to you with a three-piece suit. It'll walk at you with a Christian t-shirt. It'll walk at you with, listen, whatever way. It's not going to come walking at you with horns, teeth, and fangs and claws. Not till it gets its teeth and fangs and claws inside you. Do you hear what I'm saying? I know everybody's not hanging from the chandeliers right now. You're not shouting right now. But I promise you, if you receive this, you're going to shout louder and you're going to dance harder. Amen. So she devised a plan to turn the prophets against God's people and against Elijah because he was the target. And so after this great victory, you remember all the powerful things that Elijah did. Elijah did some powerful things. He did some amazing, powerful works in the kingdom of God, but God used him in great and mighty ways. But you know, there was that showdown between Elijah and the prophets of Baal. He said, bring them on. And God had a showdown. He had a demonstration of his glory and his power. And there was truly a contest there where Elijah said, you call upon your gods and I'll call upon my God. And the God that answers that by fire will serve and worship that God. Do you know today there is a God that still answers by fire? There is a God that still answers by fire. Hallelujah. You got some fire? Maybe you need a bigger fire. It's time for you to start fanning the flame. This is no time for you to quit in the fight. This is no time for you to give up. This is no time for you to back down. This is no time for you to surrender to the evil that's coming against you. So, and the God of fire answered that prayer. And Elijah slayed how many prophets? 850 prophets of Baal. Imagine that. I don't know. Kathy was asking me this morning how long it would take, or we were talking about how long it would take him to slay those prophets. But, you know, I don't know. I don't know exactly how long it would have taken him. It took Samson a long time to slay those Philistines. We think it happened in a moment. It could have happened in a moment, but I'm thinking it took a long time. So Elijah become tired and weary because of the fighting. Anybody here ever get tired and weary of your fighting? Come on, have you gone to sleep on me? I said, how many in here have ever got tired of fighting the same devil? Oh, man, that's so much better. Isn't it better? Amen. I arrest every slumbering spirit. I arrest every divisive spirit. I arrest every contradicting spirit today. In the name of Jesus, I release the anointing of God. I release the anointing of God, the breaker anointing. I release that to break off these things from your life so you can hear the unadulterated word of God. You need to hear. Somebody say, I need to hear. Wow. And so after that great victory, you'd think Elijah would be out celebrating, Sister Cleta. Woo, let's go to Huddle House. Let's have a victory breakfast. Come on. Yeah, Jesus is good. Hallelujah. Let's have some music. Let's have some all these things because we're going to celebrate 850. Wow. But you know what Elijah did? He ran from the fight. He ran from his fight when he knew that this spirit wouldn't have been no match for him. This person, listen, he just slayed all the prophets of Baal. And listen, he was running from one tiny little woman. You're not hearing what I'm saying. Come on. Quit thinking about hot dogs and hamburgers and fish and chips and start thinking about the Word of God. The Word of God is going to change you, not the fish and chips. I tell you what fish and chips will do for you, give you indigestion, because it's greasy as all daylights. But boy, it tastes good. Everything that tastes good isn't good for you. Oh, let me say that again to this side. Everything that tastes good isn't good for you. I know you and her have been conspiring about this diet, this super veggie diet. So she came in, she said, Dad, I'm getting ready to start my diet. And I said, okay. I said, what is it? She said, now look, Dad, I'm going to lose some weight with this diet because I can just have veggies. I can have some fruits. But, you know, people generally, my ears perking up because Miss Selena, I didn't think losing weight would be good for her because she needs her weight in this battle that she's fighting. See, Jenny's still in the ring fighting today. I don't know where you are, but she's in the ring fighting. An opposing opponent called cancer. But she's got her gloves on, and she's still fighting. She hasn't left the ring. Where are you in this fight? Because we're all fighting something today. Come on, get real with me. We're all fighting something. And if we had time, and some of you were born fighting. We were born fighting. You're born fighting, Heath. You're a born fighter. You never looked at you that way years ago when you wouldn't climb over those tall roller coasters. When you run from mom and dad in Disney World and freaked us out. We thought somebody had kidnapped him. And we run all over the park looking for him. Come on, I know you want to say something about
ruining that. My tough guy image. Why don't you hush that?
But Heath got in the ring because he's faced a lot of things in his life. He's faced a lot of things that would have taken people down. Kathy and I have fought a lot of things in life that it was taking us down. And we set ourselves not to give up in this fight. You got to understand, if you're overcoming something today, don't give up on the verge of victory. Amen. Don't give up when the victory's on the other side. Come on. You've got another round to fight. Quit extracting yourself from the fight. Little Hattie's born fighting. And we're going to pray for Gabby. I want you to have a part of that prayer. Little Remy this morning is fighting. She says, Pastor, I'm binding the spirit of death off of her life because she has this infection in her central line. They're trying to treat that. She's doing better in some ways this morning. But little Remy's fighting. Hattie was born fighting. Listen, they counted her out. Medical science counted her out. They didn't even give her a few seconds out of the womb. But look here, she's still fighting today. She's still got her hands in the air fighting. Hallelujah. Becky, you've been fighting all your life. Hallelujah. You've been fighting all your life. What are you fighting today? Some of us, the last couple years, have been fighting over our sanity. Come on. The definition, Brother Billy, of cabin fever has been defined in the last 2 years. Some people said, well, I just can't get out a few days. I'm feeling bad. Oh, brother, I've got cabin fever. I've had to stay housed up over the weekend. I got cabin fever. But listen, the whole frustration of COVID was the quarantine part, where not only you, but your loved ones, and if anybody else got sick you come in contact with, you had to be quarantined. This whole thing was the devil trying to quarantine people and shut people down so you would get out of the fight. But we keep fighting. If we have to wear a mask, we're going to keep fighting. A mask isn't going to define me. It's not going to make me holy or not holy. Hallelujah. Woo, Jesus. Come on, I need somebody in here to help me out. So we're fighting, and Ahab, or Elijah, I know what time it is. Elijah left his place on the battlefield after that victory and went and hid himself under a brush or a tree until God sent an angel and touched him. You know what you all need today? Let me tell you what you need. Well, let's see. I need some more vitamins, Pastor R. That's going to give me some more energy. No, you need some more Jesus. That's going to give you some energy. Start appropriating. Start prioritizing the things that are needful in your life, and you'll find where your energy comes from. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all those other things, energy and everything else, He'll give to you. Oh, now. Whew. Can I get happy? You know what? I'll be honest with you. Oh, I was getting very weak. Come on, can I get honest with you, brother? If there's anybody understand honesty, it'd be you, right, Jason? Frustrated, weak, discouraged. Not necessarily because of myself. It's because where I saw other people. And Elijah. Bree, and I think the Lord, I can't even see way back in there, so I don't know who's here that hasn't been here in a while, but I do see Bree, and that's an answer to prayer, because I've been burdened for this family for a long time. Brandy, it's good to see you back. Turn to somebody and say, I'm back. You don't know it yet, but you're coming back. Your setback is a setup for a comeback. This is your comeback day. This is your day to step back in the ring and say, devil, I got my gloves back on. You thought you'd take me out, but look here. I got some more punches. You know what your praise and worship was today? That was an emblem. That was an emblem of where your victory really lies today. The very thing you need is what the devil talks you out of. Some of you got trouble raising your hand. Show me in the Bible where it says you got to feel God to raise your hand. You can know God and raise your hand, but it's the Spirit of God that dwells in you that makes you the worshiper. So I can worship God in Walmart. At the gym down there, I know they think I'm crazy because I'm running on those treadmills with my hands up in the air. Yeah, come on, Amanda. Yes. And Sister Amanda told me, I didn't know that Amanda was watching me. Somebody's always watching you. Oh, let me say that again. You think nobody's watching you. Heaven gives you an audience. Amen. He, I put a new song in my mouth. Many shall see it and fear and trust in the Lord. Listen, many's going to see you sing your new song. Many's going to see you worship with your new song. This is a time to not quit your worship. This is a time to get your worship on. Oh. PJ, you born fighting, brother. He knows all about it, literally. He's been a part of some evil, and I'm going to say this, conniving gangs. And he's all part of that culture that operated through fear, bullying, fear. You know the devil operates in the same tactic. He's the greatest bully the earth has ever known. And he'll bully you. He'll bully you. He'll come against you. He'll intimidate you. He'll walk up and butt his chest into yours and say, now, come on. But God's looking for a few good men and women. God's looking for somebody. God's looking for somebody that will praise him anyway. Praise him in your storm. Praise him in your dark place. Praise him. This is going somewhere, I promise. This is going somewhere. This is going somewhere. You got to do that just in a second. That's powerful. But, and these other people, I need them here just a second. Paul and Silas, listen, at one of the most critical times in their life, in the Acts 16, you've heard this so many times over the years, but in the era of crisis and darkness, literally, it was a dark time. Literally, they were in prison for preaching the gospel. So we think we got problems. And they were in prison for preaching the gospel. And they were shut into the inner prison. Not just a dark place, but a super dark place. Yes, a hole, a prison, a pit, a place that would draw the life out of you. The place that would infect you with discouragement and despair and hopelessness. The place where it would be easy to entertain anxiety and fear because they didn't know what the next day would hold, Miss Tina. But they knew who held their day. The difference, Steve, is knowing who holds your day. You may not have control of your day, but there is somebody got control of your destiny and purpose. Oh, I promise you, you're going to get the cheeseburger in a minute. Hang on. What God is sharing with you is bigger than a cheeseburger. I promise you 100%. Right now, I can't even think of physical food because I'm eating from heaven's table. You see, Jesus spread me a table here. And he says, you can come and eat my table anytime. You see, I'm a feeble chef. I'm the beggar, the cripple that David called in and changed and eat at his table. I'm King Jehoiakim, which the Persian king had bound up, but then God moved in his heart, showed him favor. And he got out of prison. He says, I don't want you to eat in the prison. I don't want you to live in the prison anymore. You can eat at my table anytime you want to. So God called the king out of the prison and gave him a place of favor. Listen, God's getting ready to call you out of your prison and set you in a place of favor. Are you with me, Henry? Are you with me? Yes, I know you are. Hang in there just a second. So at the hour of midnight, Paul and Silas at the worst moment in their life, and it said literally the hour of midnight, one of the darkest hours of the day. There's night and day. This was their night. How many knows that we only can't just have day, but we got to have night? If you don't believe that, ask the people who live up near the Arctic Circle. You think, boy, it'd be good just to live in daylight all day long. No, it wouldn't. You need some nighttime, too. You know what? You need some spiritual nighttime, too. Shout me down. I knew you'd shout me down on that one. Yeah, I knew you'd shout me down on that one because we all want party time. We all want daylight. We all want 75 degrees. We all want green trees waving in the air. We all want palm trees and sand under our feet and a warm Caribbean breeze blowing into our face. But listen, if you're real, it don't happen that way, baby. Come on, help me out. So at the hour of midnight, oh, when moanings and groanings was filling the prison. Oh, help me. I'm suffering. I'm in this place. Have you ever prayed that way, Miss Val? Have you ever been in that place? Oh, God, help me. Hear my cry. How many's ever prayed to God to hear your cry? Come on, be real. If he hasn't, there'll be a day. I'm telling you. Okay? So at the hour of midnight, they begin to do something that nobody else would do. They begin to praise and worship God. They begin to sing psalms of hymns unto God. They begin to rejoice, not because of where they were, because of who was with them in this darkness. Listen, you're not by yourself in the dark. As a kid growing up, I was always afraid of the dark. Can I be real with you? I was afraid of the dark because I was subject to all kinds of violence and all kinds of dysfunction and disturbances throughout my life, and I was actually afraid of the dark. I envisioned monsters, Becky. I envisioned things under my bed. I envisioned things that weren't there. Donna, when you're in the dark, you can think of things that are really literally not there. In your worst moment, that's where you've got to cast down imaginations and every high thing and take every thought captive and do what's not natural for you to do. Do what's against the grain. Do what's against the current. Push! Everybody shout push! Stand up. When people come up to you, and I know you are all full of Jesus and all that, Roman, people push you, and they're going to push you, and I know, but after 10 minutes, listen, I know you got Jesus in you, but in about 11 minutes, you're going to get tired of that person pushing you, and you're going to get in your fighting stance, and you're going to say, you quit pushing me or else. How many knows that we need to do the devil the same way today? I'm tired of you pushing me, Satan. Your mom was a fighter. She never gave up in the fight. In spite of what natural things say, she was a fighter, and she didn't give up. Billy Juanita never gave up in the fight. She fought to the end. Remember some of those services? Remember some of those services? Where's Willie Duncan, by the way? Okay, Willie, I was going to use her as an illustration. Her and your mom and who else? Sister Juanita. One night in a service, the Holy Ghost just came down. Things exploded. They danced half the night in the aisles, just dancing on the grave that once had them bound, dancing in the place they thought they would die. Some of you need to get up and start dancing again in the place you thought you'd die. They begin to sing and praise and worship God. Then God sent an earthquake. God sent something to change things. I'm telling you, God's sending something that's going to change your circumstances. I believe that. Oh, I believe that. Your breakthrough is on the other end of your not giving up in this fight. You say, Pastor, I'm fighting for my children. They're lost. They're not with Jesus. They're not here. Well, listen, maybe your fighting will inspire them. Right. Right. Listen, your sitting at home is not going to cause your children to do anything but teach them how to give up when the fighting gets hard. When the fighting gets hard, you keep fighting. You keep worshiping. You keep praying. You keep reading the Word of God. And declare it over their lives. Everybody say, push! Push! Whew. You know what? There's an old hymn that came to my mind this morning. I showed to Mrs. R. Let me show you where this hymn book came from. Oh, okay. Sorry. He's like, yeah. I didn't steal it. He's like his dad. He's got this problem now. No, I've got this problem now, even with my glasses. But you know what? This old hymn, I haven't heard it in years. But I remember hearing my mom and my grandpa and grandma and all these old saints sing this song when I was a little kid. I must tell Jesus. Some of you all got some things you need to tell Jesus today. I must tell him and him all alone. There are some things that you don't want to tell your friends. Guess what? Your friends don't need to hear everything you got to say. Quit telling your friends everything. Quit telling your friends everything.
Quit casting your pearl before the swine. Listen, quit telling your friends. Quit telling your friends everything. Quit telling your visions. Quit telling your dreams. There are some things that you need to share, but there are some things that's just you and God. How many knows what I'm talking about? Now, some of you got a little bit unhappy with that. I felt it. I felt it. You think it's meant for you to tell your friends everything? Tell your friend Jesus everything. That's what this song was about. That's why he was inspired, Huffman, to write this song. There are some things that only Jesus can hear and bear in your fight, in your place of darkness. And so Elijah, after the angel touched him, some of you guys today need a touch from God again to get you back up on your feet. I know you're trying. I know you're trying, but you're weary. I can see it. You can see it, Pastor War? I can see it. I can sense your weariness. That's what burdens me. That's what breaks me down to tears. That's what keeps me awake at night. That's what disturbs me. You'll say, Pastor Hart, you got to give it to Jesus. Yes, at 67, I'm still learning to give it to Jesus. I'm not a pro at giving it to Jesus. Maybe I need to give more of you to Jesus. I felt that one. You love me when I'm preaching everything you want me to hear. You want to hear. But when I quit preaching what you want to hear, then there's where the resistance is. Listen, people of God, the thing you need to hear, what's on the other breakthrough is on what you really need to hear today, not what you want to hear. Come on, Pastor, or make me feel good. I'll put an extra dollar in. No, I'm kidding, I promise. Pastor R is feeling his feistiness, I'm sorry. That's the Holy Ghost. That's not me. If you know me, you know that I love you. And if you don't know that, you never will. But more importantly, God loves you. And you've got to fight your way out of dysfunction. You've got to fight your way out of depression. You've got to fight your way out of anxiety. You've got to fight your way out of addiction. All right, Jesus. So, you got to get her fight back. And I'm not going to get to share this even. One of the most powerful psalms. In fact, David wrote three of them from a very distinct, dark place in his life. And it was called the Cave of Adullam. PJ, you did a little devotional one time at the men's meeting about the cave. There are things that happen in the cave. But a cave is a very dark place. It's a place of insecurity, unsuredness. It's a place of not knowing exactly where you are. And by the way, some of you probably would have never guessed this if I said one of the things that I used to do and like to do more than anything at that part in my life, if I gave you three guesses, this hobby wouldn't have been one of them. It's called spelunking. And some of you probably don't even know what spelunking is. What is it? It's a love of cave. It's caving. Caving. I spent a lot of time in the limestone caves over in Letcher County, Kentucky. Listen, near Whitesburg. I've spent time. Mrs. R. and I got sick because it wasn't because of the cave. But we got super wet, and I would have never thought Mrs. R would ever go back in a cave that was totally dark and had a light. You couldn't see anything but bats flying and crickets chirping and jumping up and down and running around and bat feces and all that kind of stuff. But she was a trooper. She was a Trojan. And I had a friend one time that nearly busted his head wide open because he got in the cave in a small place and them crickets got down in his hair, and he just took his head and went boom like that, and the roof was that high, and he nearly locked himself silly because of that cave. Cave is known for its darkness. It's a scary, dark, unfamiliar place. Without a light, the only thing we'll be familiar with that would be a coal mine, they say, which is one of the darkest places without light. But it's a place of darkness. And David wrote three of his most powerful psalms in these caves. Psalms 142, he wrote from a place of darkness, a place where he was running from a king that he respected very much, King Saul. And King Saul was jealous of him, chasing him, wanting to kill him. And David hid himself in a cave called Adullam. And there he hid out. And God saw his dilemma and his darkness, and he sent outlaws in to help him. Well, that will preach. Some of you missed that one right there. We think church is all about shiny people. Woo! It's about polishing and shining. Listen, the Holy Ghost does that. But when they first come to you, they're not shiny, I promise you. And there's a lot of things they got to do. But we can't give up on those that God sends from dark places. So from a place called Adullam, David wrote three of those powerful psalms. And from a place of captivity or a place of enclosure, Adullam means to turn aside, a retreat. Or God can use it as a refuge. I bet some of you don't know this. God can hide you in your trouble. Oh, now, that don't make sense. Now, Pastor R, that don't make sense. Note this, that God's always with you. Turn to somebody and say, God's always with me. Even though I can't feel him, even though I can't see him, he's always there. He's the only constant boo I've got in this crazy, dark world that I live in. Because a cave is known for, again, its darkness. It was also used as a place, as a tomb. In Jesus' day and in Old Testament days, there was a lot of patriarchs, a lot of people of renown that were buried in tombs. This would be like the tomb of Jesus, just an indenture back in the mountain, a hollowed out place where they carved out a slab stone and stuck the embalmed body there and rolled the stone over. Even Jesus knew what it was like to be in a cave. But I'm going to tell you something. Jesus did not stay in his cave. Oh, you missed a place to shout right there. I want to say there's something there, but I won't say it. It's time for you to come out of your cave. It's time for you to walk out of your darkness. It's time for you to walk out of your discouragement. It's time for you to walk out of your depression. It's time for you to walk out of these things that's holding you back. Anxiety, all these things. Do you know all the men that joined themselves to David in that cave were men who were thugs and outlaws? men who were broken, men who society had left out, men who people had given up on. There are people in your life, you know this is the truth, who may have given up on your life. But aren't you glad there's a God and his name is Jehovah and he has a son named Jesus who never gave up on you. Never gave up on you. And I've actually said this before, but I'll say it again. People have come to me and said, well, you got to watch that person, Pastor Orr. Come on. Come on. Let's be real. But you know what? When Jesus gets a hold of you, when Jesus gets a hold of you, he'll change your darkness to light. He'll change your misery to praise. He'll change your down and discouragement to up. He'll change your cloudy skies to blue. He'll change your situation when Jesus steps in to your brokenness. Because that's the Bible. That's what the Bible said in Samuel. That's the ones who joined themselves to David. Were cutthroats, people who were broken, people who had records. Oh, thank God. Send them all, Jesus. Yeah. Woo! Yeah. Hallelujah! Yeah. Hallelujah! Yeah. Come on! Are you too religious to shout right there? Oh, not me, Pastor. I got my life together. Sure you do. Sure you do. Sure you got your life together. Oh, yes, I can see it. I can see how together your life is. You can see how not together my life is at times. Hallelujah. Oh, wow, Jesus. For David, it was a stronghold, a hiding from King Saul. But it was a place, a refuge. And sometimes God hides us in our most difficult places because the work of the Holy Spirit is working in our life. It's not always a place that we want to be in. It's not always a place that we want to be in. It's not a place. Sometimes it can be a tomb, like Jesus. 3 days he stayed in the tomb. Now, how do you make that work? My ear is so wet, I can't even get this thing around my ear. Okay, I got it. Hallelujah. I know we're ready to go. I see what time it is. I see some of you punching your clocks in secret, you know, like that. I got to get out here, Pastor R. Fish and chips are waiting on me. Woo! That Burger King special is just up the road. That Italian cuisine, man, I can just taste it. God has a table spread. The Master has a table spread. Are you eating? Are you thinking about fish and chips? If you're thinking of fish and chips, that may be all you get today. But God has something more valuable than fish and chips. Hang on to this word today. It's for sure not finished. And I want these people to come up here. I know what time it is. I asked a few people. You know what God has called this ministry to, Heath? The cave ministry. I know we're not the cave. There's a church called the cave. I don't know why Brother Jimmy, what inspiration inspired him to name that. Could have been this same way. But in many instances, it's a dwelling place. It's a place of safety. God can hide us in such places as that. But there are some of us here today that God has delivered us from the place of darkness. The place of darkness. a place where we feel trapped and alone, a dark place, overwhelming trials. And I'm going to give you one huge single proof today that you will keep the rest of your life, even after I'm long gone, if we're blessed to see that time come. This will be that thing. There's a reason why you can come out of your darkness and win your battle today. You know why that reason? It's an empty tomb. An empty cave. You should have got up and shouted a happy dance right there. You mean 2 little hours has got you comatose? Oh, Jesus, teach school like I did for years. Do work, nursing work. Law work. Oh, Jesus, you need this word. Turn to somebody and say, I need this word. I need it. We need it. We need this word. Because in that cave, we feel trapped. We feel all alone. We feel destitute. We feel like victory is not ours. But I'm telling you today, this is your day to come out of your cave. This is your day of victory. The question is, there's some people who live there so long that they get used to their dysfunction. And so they label themselves. Oh, I know. But an empty cave is proof that I can come out of mine today. Chrissy, you've come a long way, baby. I know you're not there yet, but you've come a long way. So, come on, where's all the cave dwellers? The spelunkers, come on, where are they at? I talked to some few people up here. You can come down here or up here, either way, you won't, I don't care. Wow. Yes, you can join up. Can I say something? How many's ever heard of a cave called Mammoth? It's in northern Kentucky. They have a rare species of aquatic life that live in that cave. They're salamanders, and they're blind. They've never seen light. But you are called children of light. Darkness has you no more. You have been brought out of darkness into His glorious light. Been transformed by the power of Jesus. You don't live in a dark place anymore. In fact, everyone, if we'd had time, everyone sitting back there who's been in a dark place, a secluded place in your life could be on this place. Trapped, alone. And, you know, no place seemingly to get out. David described it in Psalm 40 as a horrible pit. Has there been places in your life that you could describe as a horrible pit? Help me out. Y'all haven't gone to sleep. Wake them up, Jesus. Come on. Come on, knock them, Jesus. So, just in a second, I know what time it is. I promise you, this is worth more than fish and chips. It's worth more than crispy chicken. It's worth more than your bargain cheeseburger today. And I'm going to be real. I've been there, so I'm not judging it. But if that's all we got on our mind right now, then we missed it. But God can still wake you up. Hallelujah. So, I know today is your 2-year celebration of recovery. Is that right? Is that the proper name for it?
Yeah, it'd be about 2 days, but yeah, 2 days would be 2 years.
Today is literally your 40th birthday. But 2-year clean day. Wow. Wow! Come on! Oh, Jesus, if I had a reason to praise you, I would. Did you just hear that?
You know, to give you credit, Shane, people think when you're in going through darkness, I know myself that people can't see it on you, but people can see it on you. But people can see freedom on you, brother. People can see freedom.
Amen. Amen.
Like, if you could see me then you could see me now. So, just in a few seconds there, Shane, tell us what coming out of your cave has been, or how can you relate to this, and what I shared with you earlier.
Well, you know, it wasn't all easy. You know, 2 years ago, actually, you know, this month, I come from a place where thinking about multiple suicide multiple times a day, welcoming death, you know, looking for it, wanting to die. I knew I was either going to OD or somebody shoot me, and I was fine with that. And then the day come where I got locked up again, and I guess I just got tired of it. I got tired of it, and then I started drying out from all the drugs and the dope, and I got a different mindset. And that's where I started talking to God. And, you know, right now I'm still supposed to be locked up, but I'm here in church. You know.
Oh, I love it. He's still supposed to be in the cave, but he escaped the cave.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
You know, that's...
Come on.
That's something that, you know, everybody in my family in the world had counted me out, just as Pastor was saying. They throwed me away. But, you know, now... there's people comes to me for advice and for prayer. And, you know, I just had a prison guard come up from the jail to give me a hug and tell me they love me the other day, that they was proud of me. And, you know, that's just God. That's just powerful, the power of God. And just, I don't know how to explain it. It's overwhelming, but it's good. It's the goodness of God. And, you know, so it's 2 years here today, and I'm here in church, and I'm praising and driving a bus. But, you know, I get up here, I ain't never danced. You know, Heath was saying somebody to please you, girl, or whatever. Well, I ain't never danced with a woman, but, you know, I like to get up here and dance for the Lord, because, man, if y'all don't know nothing about that, you better not overlook it, and you better try to get you some, because it's great. Yeah.
Whoa. Yes. That's powerful. Yes.
So everybody knows where I come from. I've come from a broken and dark place as well. And Shane is what balances me out through God. He keeps me balanced and calm and cool and collective. The ministry team here, Pastor R on a daily. But the enemy has probably the last 6 weeks have been harder than the last year and 4 months. Like, he's just really battling in my mind. I've had to go back to the doctor over anxiety. It's something I've never battled before. I don't know where it comes from. I do know where it comes from, but I just don't know through my day. I mean, life is good. You know, I'm so blessed and I've came so far, but it just overwhelms me to the point I can't even sleep. So just continue to pray for me with that. But I know that God's got a plan, and I'm just going to keep pushing. So I received that word today.
Yes. You've come a long way. Listen, you want to help some people who've been cave dwellers, just shout out right now. You've come a long way, baby.
A long way, baby.
Yes. Look at yourself.
Yes. Well, I've came from addiction, depression, grief. I was just in dark places. I didn't feel loved. And, of course, Jesus filled all that. But it's not like that I don't have to push against that because it comes against me all the time. Like what you were just speaking of, yeah, that comes from the enemy. And when you're not doing what you normally do, he's still going to put it on you. And we can't focus on why. We just got to tell it to leave.
Yes.
You know what I mean? But 2.5 years clean. I am just, I know I have a purpose. And I'm just going to keep living it. Push wow. through and keep changing the world.
Wow. That's wow. it. Yes. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody ought to be ready to shout right now. You shout in their victory, and your victory will be sweeter, I promise you. Hallelujah. That's good theology. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
My darkness, I remember from a very young child just feeling very unworthy and very unloved. And from that age, I medicated myself with eating. Continued most of my life. And a couple of years ago, I had a breaking point. Had a list of medical problems a mile long. Was on 13 medications a day and 4 shots of insulin. And what changed is that I put Christ above everything else. And that became my filler. And I no longer needed that binge eating and food to make me feel full. So after that, doors have opened. I found Lost Creek. I found Body and Soul, which is a huge, huge part of my life. And Selena's ministry blesses me weekly.
Wow.
She helps me in these past few weeks. I've been struggling myself and just trying to find that push. But I'm telling you guys that when I say that my 7-year-old son has carried me the last few weeks, he has carried me.
Wow.
And he has. And I didn't lose the physical weight. I lost the weight of the depression and the darkness, and all of that's what's gone.
Yes.
So
that's it. The weight on our minds. Come yeah. on. The weight on your heart.
Right. So it's not, people, you know, say things to me all the time, you know, you look so great. But I make sure I correct them and tell them it's not the outside that's different, it's the inside. And let me tell you how you get that. So.
Woo.
Absolutely.
Yes. Oh, these were once cave dwellers. But now they've stepped into the light, like many of you all have here this day. Every one of us could be on this stage today.
I feel like you guys already know my story. I'm a broken record. So I was, July 31st, I will be 11 years clean.
Yeah.
I was at a place where I was in a broken marriage, very dysfunctional. I was codependent. We were both unfaithful. We were both addicts. It was a secret. We were professional people. You wouldn't know it from the outside looking in at all. I looked like I had it all together. But I woke up every morning and took a pill or two or three and spent the rest of the day chasing that same feeling, and I never got it, no matter how much I took. And I was tied to a pill. I couldn't go places if I didn't have enough with me. I couldn't do things if I couldn't take my drugs with me. And there was a point where, like Shane, I thought about suicide all the time. All the time. And God reminded me of hope. And I woke up one day, and for some reason,
oh, this is going to preach.
I just wanted to go home. And suddenly, I just wanted to talk to God again. I wanted to feel that comfort again. I wanted to feel Him again. And then I did come home, and what happened was that I wanted God more than the drugs. And suddenly, He became more important. And I didn't want anything between me and Him. And suddenly, the things that I put my body through just to be certain things because I thought a guy would like it, because I thought that's what he wanted that week. The things I did to my body because I didn't feel like I was enough. Mm. And suddenly, I was enough. And suddenly, I wanted Jesus more than I wanted a guy, more than I wanted drugs.
Yeah.
And so, that's how I came out of my cave.
Something that I was reminded of when they were talking is that, you know, you don't always have to have a drug addiction or an alcohol addiction. I went through a dark place of anxiety, but it's more than anxiety. We use that word so much, you don't even know what it means anymore. And I wrote down words that I felt on the daily basis, and nobody could help me but God. Nobody. Joe tried everything in the world, but he couldn't help me. Darkness, nervousness without a reprieve, worry continuously, a heaviness that followed me. I don't care if it life was great, if I was at the beach, I still had this heaviness over me. And it was so dark, and I didn't understand what I did. Did I cause this? You know, did I do something? And I just started searching, and I just found myself on a hamster wheel just constantly trying to look up things. What can I do to help myself? And, you know, all the while I was praying, too. You know, I never turned my back on God, but I didn't know, you know, that He was the only answer. And I know that He can use things. He uses medicine, and He uses things. And I know for me, exercise has been a huge help in this battle, because there's times, even now, I'm like, I just need to go for a run, or I need to work out, because it's a release for me. And I don't know why I'm wired this way, or, you know, you can think a million ways, like Allison said, you know, why am I battling this? I quit trying to figure all that out, because I thought, you know, God, that's not the way He works. And so, you know, I've been in counseling with Pastor R and Mrs. R, you know, over this for a long time, but I am so glad I pushed through, because I see the light. I feel the light. I see it.
Hallelujah.
Something that, you know, I was thinking about this since Pastor Hart asked me this morning, you know, what I always try to look at, what are some good things, you know, praying. I've been a Christian for a long time, since I was young, but I never really considered prayer or reading the Bible a priority. I just didn't. I just came to church a lot, but I thought that was enough. And I found myself in my literal closet. That's where my prayer closet is, and I don't go in there enough. I go in there some, but I need to go more. And I found myself, that was where the only place I could find any peace is just literally praying in my closet. And finally learning how to, you know, just read the Bible. Even if you don't know how to read it, just reading something every day, making it a priority, has changed me. I mean, I see it and feel the difference, so that's why I brought it up here.
Yes. Awesome. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Well, I've been going toe-to-toe with the devil since I was 6 years old. I was a victim of sexual abuse, and my parents were addicts. My whole family's addicts. I was an addict for a long time. But God's allowed me to break that chain in my family, and I'm just trying to lead the rest of them now to show them the way out of the cave.
Yeah. Whoa. Yes. Wow.
I grew up in an abusive home. My mom, she dealt with a lot of abuse. I'm going to give you the short version because it's a really long deal. She didn't know how to deal with the abuse, so hurt people hurt people. And I didn't have one dad. I had 400. And they all was abused people, so they kicked me and beat me to how they've been treated. So I went to group homes. I was a ward of the state, got sent off till I was 18. So some people knows what that's like. Some people don't. Got out, went back to jail because that's what I knew, drugs, alcohol, and all that. I drank since about the age 7 when I took my first drink of beer. I was like, wow, this is what I've been missing. My dad, alcoholic, all them. I've drank all my life. I've got almost August 1st to be 90 days sober with alcohol. Yes. Yes. I had an accident. I was working as a welder down here. After I got out of prison, I went to college and got my welding license. Bam.
Yeah.
Another thing.
Yes.
I'm the first person in my family with a college anything, actually. And that's because of God, because I come to Lost Creek. I was suicidal when I first come to Lost Creek. It's been about 5 years now. Talked to Pastor R. Me and Christy got married. God's done a lot of stuff, but about being in a cave, when I went to prison, I was with some white people. I'm not going to say which one, but I moved up to the 3rd in the state of Virginia in that, and I was really pushing for the other team, for the devil on that. I took it about as far as you could go besides being life in prison or dead, but God has took a lot of that. I've got all my tattoos covered up almost. I've still got to get off that file, domestic terrorist file, but God's going to do that because I'm not that person anymore. God's removing all those scars from the past, and I didn't have a relationship with my family. And my dad now, I never even talked to my dad, and God's restored that relationship. He called me out of the blue like a month ago, and he told me he was proud of me, and he's really proud of me, and I'm his favorite son. And my granddad got saved when we prayed for him. I do want to tell y'all this. When we prayed for him the other day, he said that Sunday, he said, I had the worst pain in my life, and he said, I called your mom. And he said, I was hurting so bad. And he said, right after I got off the phone with your mom, he said, it was about 5 minutes after I got off the phone with your mom. He said, I don't know. He said, but I felt like God did something. He said, I've never felt like that. And I said, well, Papa, he said, I'm gonna show you something about that. I said, you don't know this. He said, but you had about 200 people in our church. We stopped everything, Pastor Heath did, and we was praying for you. He said, I don't know what happened. He said, but that pain stopped. And he said, I knew everything was going to be okay. He said, I didn't know.
Yes. Hallelujah.
We're going to end with this morning. How many of you follow boxing? Okay. For those of you that don't, have you seen the movie Cinderella Man? Okay, that's about a boxer named James J. Braddock. Lakin's going to put him up on the board. He was the world heavyweight champion from 1935 to 1937. He was known for his spoiling counterpunching style, his powerful right hand, and his iron chin. The problem was he lost his passion. He lost his purpose, and he lost his fight. So after 2 years of being heavyweight, he just quit. He fed his family any way he could, taking whatever job he could find. But then the Great Depression hit, and there was no jobs to be found. He slid into poverty. And although he loved his family more than his own life, he was at a loss as what to do. So he went back to what he knew. He went back to fighting, to boxing. He started with an amazing comeback. He got better with every match. He fought with passion and focus. He would upset better, younger boxers. Finally, after one amazing match, a reporter came up and said, "Mr. Braddock, what are you fighting for?" With no hesitation, he said, "Milk. I'm fighting for milk for my children." He got his purpose and his passion back. He got his fight back. How about us? How many of us today need a purpose, need to get our fight back, need to get our passion back, need to get our praise back, need to get our worship back, need to give our service back, need to get legs under our prayers and get moving out? Quit saying, "Bless me, bless me, bless me," and saying, "Lead me, lead me, lead me. Help me serve, serve, serve. Show me where I can work." It's time we get our fight back. Let's get up and get our fight back. Come on.
He found his why. So if you're here and you're tired in your fight, I hope God has awoken your why this morning. You need to know why we're fighting. We're fighting for our lives out here, and we're fighting for this community out here, and we're fighting for our homes out here, right? So, amen. We're done. Let me just ask you this before we go. Just to bow your heads. We're done. I know we've been a little while, but this has been worth it, man. It's been good. Oh, man. It's been good. This is a lot better time than when watching that Titanic movie. I knew how that was going to end. That was a waste of three and a half hours. We're not even here near that long today. So how many would say this? How many would say, "You know what, lately I feel like I be honest with myself," and we're just going to be a minute. We're not going to drag this out, not going to beat anybody down or anything. Just I feel like maybe I've give up my why, and I've kind of put my gloves down a little bit. Is there anybody in the room that would say that? Amen. I see your hands. Anybody say, "You know, I feel like I've been in a dark place, maybe in a little bit of a cave," and God has purpose in that cave, but maybe God, through the word today, is calling you out. Maybe through these testimonies, God is calling you out of that dark place and into light. Just for a moment, any more hands? We're just going to pray over you, but, you know, there's powerful remembrance in muscle memory and in taking a step. And so if you want to come forward, you don't have to. You can pray right where you are. But if God is calling you forward this morning and you say, "I want to come out of my cave and I want my fight back," then I just invite you right now. Nobody's looking. Just come on. I'm not going to count. Just come on. Just come on. Just come on. You say, "You know what? I need light."